to the universities. Meet the Jewish young people of this generation. Young Jews who have expertise in every field. Science, technology are at their command. They are at home in the world of culture. And yet, their own heritage eludes them. I confront them with a challenge, and I say unto them, Bonai, my children, Mamlechet Kohanim, the descendants of the priestly kingdom, who amongst you? Who amongst you could tell me, could identify the names, the titles of the great books of our people? Not the contents of the books. I know you never studied. Just the titles. The titles of Chamishei Chumshei Torah, Shisha Sidrei Mishnah, the books of the Talmud, the great books of our sages. Who amongst you could identify just the names? And my challenge is always greeted by silence, a silence which chills my soul. And I say to myself, Ribono shel olam, Almighty God, mi ele, who are these? What happened to us? Was it only yesterday that we had young people, children, who would be able to recall from memory the holy words of the Torah? Was it only yesterday? And all of a sudden I realize that the tables are turned. It's not the blacks, it's not the Puerto Ricans who are deprived, but it's the Jews. Young Jews who grew up in the gilded ghettos of suburbia, who have been given everything, and yet they possess nothing. Young Jews who have been given everything that money could buy, and yet they are poor and deprived. Expertise in every field, and yet their own heritage eludes them. A generation that cannot recall its past. A people living without a memory. This is the generation that has been described by the prophet Amos. Hinei yamim ba'im ne'umad Hashem, and they shall come upon you, says the Lord. V'shalachti ra'av ba'aretz, and I shall send a hunger into your land. Lo ra'av la'lechem, it shall not be a hunger for bread. Velo tzama la'mayim, nor shall it be a thirst for water. Ki im lishmoa et divrei Hashem, but it shall be a hunger for the word of God.
Lo ra'av la'lechem,
that has been raised to worship at the altars of sophistication, culture, and education. They have been led to believe that that veneer of intellectualism is the passport to success in the great American society. But this is the generation that has seen these gods fail. I can testify to this. I have seen the limitations and the sterility of education. I am a graduate of Bergen-Belsen. I saw doctors, graduates of medical school, use their knowledge of medicine to dissect infants, to operate without anesthetics. I saw lawyers, graduates of law school, use their knowledge of law to enact the Nuremberg laws which made Jews subhuman. And I saw scientists use their knowledge of science to build factories where death was manufactured. And I saw chemists discover gases that would annihilate our people in seconds. For the first time in the history of human beings, man was turned into matter. My hair and the hair of my people was transformed into blankets. My skin and the skin of my people was shaped into lampshades. My bone and the bones of my people were ground into fertilizer. And all this was done in an ambiance of culture. Mozart, Beethoven and Wagner were always playing in the background. The Germans were a cultured people, sensitive to the nuances of music, and yet completely insensitive to the pitiful cry of an infant. Tell me, my friends, what sort of a man is this man? Graduate of universities. What is the meaning of his education? After Auschwitz, we discovered the gods that failed. Man stands alone, defenseless, naked, frightened, terrified. Education cannot simply be an intellectual exercise, the acquisition of subject matter. If education is to have meaning, then it must touch your inner soul. It must give reason for your existence. It must lend meaning and purpose to your life. A man has a soul, and his soul yearns for God. Nafshi ta'alak ilechu elokim.
Kein nafshi ta'alak ilechu elokim.
We belong to a privileged generation. With our very eyes, we have beheld the fulfillment of Jewish destiny. God's promise to his people. After 2,000 years of exile, we have returned to our land. Who would have believed it possible? As the heavens and as the earth. If there ever has occurred such a thing, a nation coming home after 2,000 years. The words of the prophet have been realized. Koma Hashem, thus saith the Lord, Hini ani lokeya et b'nei Yisrael mibein hagoyim. Behold, I will gather my people, the children of Israel, from among the nations. I shall bring them home. They shall dwell in their land, never again to be uprooted. Yes, we have returned home, home to our land. We have come to redeem our land through sacrifice, through Kedusha, sanctity. In Eretz Israel, there was a young boy who volunteered to be a tzanchan, a parachutist in the war, and he was hit by a sniper's bullet in his left arm. He was taken to the hospital, and over there the doctors had no option but to operate and amputate his arm. After the operation, they were concerned that this boy would go into shock. After all, if a boy wakes up to discover that his arm is missing, it's only natural that he should go into shock. But this boy, when he awoke, you know what he said? He said, please, I would like to speak to the rabbi here in the hospital. And the rabbi came, and he said, Bani, my son, what can I do for you? And he said, Rabbi, all my life, from the day that I was bar mitzvah, every day I put on tefillin. And now that the Almighty has given me the privilege to give part of my body for Yerushalayim, I not only want to put on tefillin, but I want to sing Hallel. I want to daven. I want to pray. But Rabbi, my arm is missing. And the Jewish law requires that the tefillin should be placed upon the left. Tell me, Rabbi, where do I put the tefillin? Where do I put the tefillin? And the rabbi answered. And he raised his hands towards heaven and he said, Rivono shel olam, Almighty God, Chavivi Yisrael amakom, beloved and devoted are the Jewish people to you. Minushorim kalu, they are swifter than eagles, or me avoyos goveru, and they are stronger than lions. Las os votsan kanu, to do your will. And the rabbi went back to the boy. And he said to the boy, Bani, my son, it is my decision that you should place the tefillin upon the remaining butt. I will help you. And the boy said, Rabbi, do not be angry, my rabbi. Please, you could arrange it. Take me to the Kotel first, to the holy wall, and let me put on my tefillin over there. And by helicopter, on a stretcher, the boy was taken to the wall. And as he was taken close to the ancient stones, he washed the stones with his tears. He kissed the crevices with his lips. Tell me, friends, have you ever heard of such a thing? A brave, strong soldier who walks undaunted, unafraid into fire. Why does he cry like a baby when he sees an ancient stone? If you are a Jew, then you know the answer, because you are also crying. It's the Pintel Hayid, that flicker of the light, that tiny flame, which is dormant in your soul, which comes from Sinai, which is whispering to you day and night, Jew, come home. Each of us, you and I, we can all become that flame again. Jewish children, Shavu Banim, come home.
You were at Mount Sinai. You heard the voice of God. The Torah is your possession. You are Yerusha. He got to by Yamam Belayo. And you shall study it day and night. Mamlechet Kohanim, a priestly kingdom. Children, Shavu Banim, come home, children, all of us. A flicker of a light, a tiny flame. And if you will it, the tiny flame shall become a great fire from which the world, Hineni,